Fearless Voyager Radio. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers, psychic phenomena and the unexplained, UFOs, extraterrestrial encounters, government cover-ups, alternative health care, new technologies. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio, and I'll tell you what a show I have planned for you this evening. We are going to talk about UFOs and ETs, and we're going to talk to a gentleman who has an ongoing experience with two beings from the Andromedas. His name is Alex Collier. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Hi.
How you doing there, Alex?
Good evening. Hey, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Now, for those of you who are interested, Alex, real quickly, who are these people that you are talking to?
Well, they're human beings to start with, Bruce. They come from the constellation of Andromeda.
Now, they are human beings. That's very important for people to know because a lot of people don't want extraterrestrials to look human, do they?
Well, Hollywood certainly doesn't.
Yeah.
But there's actually more human beings than there are any other species, I'm told.
Because it's the one it's got the best setup, right? It's the easiest. It's one of the best of the body types, I understand.
It is. It's easy to heal, and it's designed, even our physical bodies here, are designed to live at least 150 years. But because of all the refined foods and everything we put into it, in our bodies, they don't last nearly that long.
So you through some reason that I don't understand, been able to have very, very good close contact with two beings. Is that correct?
That's correct, Bruce. First of all, they're light blue in skin. They are human beings. Their ancestors are the ancient Lyrans, who apparently were the first human beings to actually settle and colonize our galaxy. Their names are Morinne and Phaseas. Now, they're a telepathic race, and they use symbols, holographic symbols, for their language, but to facilitate and to accommodate me, they took their name, their symbols, and created a tone. And from that tone, I worked with them to create the name.
So it's Morinne, and what's the other one?
Vaseus.
Vaseus. I'm writing this down so I can remember what I'm doing here. All right, now, here is the situation. You have a lot of information from the two of them, and so we should start talking about that information. Because that's what Timeless Voyager Radio is about. We're not going to hem and haw about whether this is true or not. So
well,
go ahead, Alex.
Everybody has to think for themselves. That's
right.
The first thing.
And
that's basically what their message has been. They have primarily been trying to teach me our history that's been lost and changed and hidden and buried so that, we can understand where we've come from. Because, they view our world today, we're just going in circles. We don't have any answers. So much information and technology has been withheld from us by a group of few, not only human beings, but other extraterrestrials that are here and have been here. So it's been really, really interesting, and I've learned so much that there are days I pick up a newspaper and I just can't believe the world's in this kind of a state.
Now, in the beginning, or at least according to the information that you have been giving out, our original race was green-skinned. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about that then.
Okay. Apparently, the original inhabitants of the planet were from a star system or a planet called Nibiru. They were here. They colonized. Earth is in a solar system that's at the very edge of our galaxy, and it's along a trade route. When people would be leaving our galaxy to travel to other galaxies, they would usually stop here, simply for R&R, water, which we have an abundance of. And, they would stay here 50, 60, 150 years. Which to them is just a very short stay because they live thousands of years. Where to us, that's a civilization.
Right.
So,
Nibiru is, I understand, according to... Now, this is the same Nibiru that is in the Sumerian tablets, the same one that Zechariah Sitchin talks about?
Yes, it is.
So the planet basically has a, has an oblong, very, very strange orbit. It takes, what, about 3,500 years to cover one rotation around the sun?
Well...
Or at least that's what Zechariah Sitchin says.
Right. Well, that's what the Sumerians write. But according to Morinane Fesseus, Nibiru is actually more than a planet.
Okay.
It can speed up its rotation or it can slow it down, and it can even alter it.
So it's an evolved planet.
Well, it's self-propelled.
Sorry, self-propelled planet.
Yes. They are very... technologically advanced.
See, people need to understand that planets aren't hunks of mud that they have envisioned out there spinning around aimlessly for no apparent reason.
Well, absolutely not. You know, we've been really misled. I mean, for example, the moon. You know, the moon is absolutely hollow, and it's it has a surface depth of 20 miles, and from there it's surrounded by metal. And they can tell this because when the lunar orbiters, or I'm sorry, lunar modules left the moon and brought the astronauts to the command module, when they released it and it fell back to the moon, it rang like a bell for anywhere from 5 to 8 hours.
Hmm.
And with the seismic equipment they left there, they could tell just how far and how quickly the vibrations were going. So they absolutely know that it's hollow. And of course, it isn't supposed to be.
Right, it's supposed to be a hunk of another planet.
A hunk of rock, exactly.
So,
but getting
11,
back to the Nibiru ones.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, they were green, and what I have been told is that 439,000 years ago, there was a terrible, terrible war here. And I've been told that groups from Orion invaded this sector of our solar system, and they literally nuked everything they could find.
So Orion guys are not the best, are they?
No, there's good and bad everywhere.
Right. But these guys were not the best, were they? They weren't good to us anyway.
Not at the time.
No.
They had a severe attitude, and they didn't like the Nibiruans, apparently. And they came in and they nuked, and apparently what happened was there was so much radiation that the human beings that were on the surface started to experience varying degrees of edema. And the edema apparently caused changes in the color of skin. And apparently our ancestors at one time, the race was green, then went to red, then went to yellow, then went to black, and then went to white.
So we have on our planet the history of our race except for the green.
That's correct. But if you go into some of the ancient Egyptian temples,
mm-hmm.
Many of the pharaohs or the gods, per se, are green-skinned.
Right.
And that explains why, because they knew. And that was passed down, through their secret groups and secret temples and secret orders, etc., that the gods were green.
Now, there are about, 22 humanoid species, roughly? 22 genetic codes?
Yes. There's 22 different DNA codes, apparently, in our bloodstream, in our DNA, which is a result of our race being genetically altered by, at least 22 different races. So, we've become this hodgepodge, this pool, this DNA pool of containing incredible racial memories of all these different races, which we, apparently, in the very near future, are going to be able to tap into.
So now, let me see here. What I wanted to say was that the red-skinned people are the strongest?
At this point on the planet, they are, which is why they've had so much trouble, not only from the governments, but also from the grays,
right?
Even some of the reptilian races. They are the closest and the strongest of genetically on the planet as of right now. They're the closest to our original form.
Hmm.
And apparently, because of the radiation, what happened was our bloodstreams lost the copper mineral inside of it. And the edema somehow wiped all that out. And the body, being the miracle that it is, it adjusted by substituting iron. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you have, when you cut yourself, you know, you it actually in your veins it's blue. When you cut yourself, it becomes red as soon as air hits it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's different with some of the families still on the planet. For example, the royal family. They call them blue bloods. That's because they still have a very strong copper-based bloodstream. And that's why they marry always inside the family or very close to the family lineage.
All right. Should we continue with that one? Or
So, who
are the blue bloods? Can you give us some ideas?
Well, there's actually two primary families on the planet that I've been told about. One would be the Royal English family, and the other one is a family in France that apparently many are trying to keep hidden, that are connected to René Lachateau, and they were connected to Joseph of Arimathea in the past.
All right, we're going to cover so much material tonight that probably will leave everybody spinning by the end of the show. Which is always nice. Let's talk for a minute about the moon. You brought up the moon. Let's just hit that squarely for right now. According to your information, it was brought to our planetary area 11,000 years ago.
That's right. Even the Mayans recorded it. One night it wasn't there, and then the following night it was there. What I've been told is that our moon used to be one of two moons that circled a planet called Muldec or Melona,
right,
that is now the asteroid belt. And it was brought to this solar system to squash in a rebellion. Now, you know, we've all seen Star Wars and Star Trek, etc., and some of the ships are like that. But apparently thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of years ago, the ETs would use planetary bodies, because they were already basically built. All they had to do was hollow out the inside,
mm-hmm,
put in their drives, and then they could use those. And they would build domes on the surface, et cetera, like what Richard Hoagland talks about.
Right.
They would build these domes, and then they would use these as their vehicles. And this is exactly what they did. Now, Morinae and Phaseas have always referred to our moon as a war carrier.
Interesting.
And apparently it was put into our orbit 11,000 years ago when Orion and Draco actually gained control of our solar system. I mean, I know this sounds like science fiction.
Well, actually, let's talk about the real science fiction. You say that all those pictures that we've seen of the moon are faked.
No.
There's the real science fiction.
Some of them are faked.
Well, many of them.
Yeah, they've all been touched and doctored, and you know, most photographic people will tell you that.
But let's tell people why they were faked.
Because they show structures all over the place.
Right.
And the astronauts, you know, they just simply can't say anything because they are afraid and they have families. And, you know, they took an oath long before they went up there. You know, they didn't know what they were going to find. And they're just holding to that oath and their integrity. But they know, you know, they definitely know. You know, if people can get their hands on Lunar Orbiter 4 photographs, and if you can find those and you find pictures from the dark side of the moon, which isn't always dark, by the way, you will see.
Explain
stuff.
That.
Well, because we call it the dark side. They call it the dark side of the moon only because we can't see it.
Right.
Because the moon does not rotate on its axis, like almost everything else does.
Mm-hmm. Which explains that it's different in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Plus, it's far too big to actually be, to have been caught in our orbit. But that's a whole other story, and, you know, and that's because it was placed there. Let's see. But there are structures there, and I have a video where you can actually see these things on slide. I mean, there's 7-mile huge monuments. There's pieces of shard going 3.5 miles up in the air. There are pyramids. There's structures. I mean, there's just so much. It's unbelievable. And, you got to hand it to them. The spin doctors really know what they're doing.
Let's talk a little bit about Mars, because right now NASA has definitely taken a different posture, haven't they?
Well, that's the rumor.
I mean, the point is that all of a sudden, and I think you'll bear this out, all of a sudden we have in our clutches a rock from Mars. Nobody's asked how it got here from Mars.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden someone says that it fell out of the sky and that it's from Mars. It's highly speculative as to how we actually got a rock from Mars. But with people like you and I having followed these things for years, we've always said, much to the amazement of those scientists, that we had been on Mars as early as at least the 60s. Well, now all of a sudden we have this rock from Mars, and it has in its clutches evidence of life.
Well, I have an opinion about that.
I figured you wouldn't. I wanted to let you give it to us.
For one, you know, how, like you said earlier, how did it get here? I mean, how many meteorites from Earth have hit Mars?
Right.
Okay. And how do they know that it's actually from Mars? And, you know, why is it that we've had it for 15, 16 years? They found it. I think they found it in Antarctica. You know, why is it we've had it for 16 years and they haven't ever bothered to cut it open and find out?
Right.
You know, the bottom line is it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Washington, D.C. needed a distraction because they have been, you know, politically they're up to their shenanigans and they don't want people to watch what they're doing.
The forced card trick, the shell game.
Uh-huh. Of course. You know, they're excellent at it. They're excellent at it. You know, plus NASA's budget's coming up.
Right.
You know, it's politics as usual.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is we've had a presence on the moon actually since the late 50s.
Mars?
Since
Mars.
The late 50s.
Right.
And there is more than enough circumstantial evidence to prove that we have been there.
I don't know if you and I talked about this once before. There is a movie and a book called Alternative 3.
Yes, there is.
According to Alternative 3, the entire issue about Alternative 3 was a videotape taken from a spacecraft that was American, supposedly traveling across the surface of Mars with people talking about the fact that they were on Mars, and then it appeared here in the early 60s.
And it was May 1962.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we were on Mars in 1962, so the whole question was, how do we get a videotape on one-inch tape, which was the standard at that point?
Uh-huh.
How did we have that tape when no one had supposedly ever been on Mars?
Well, you know, Bruce, that's just one of those anomalies, you know. one of those weird things that, you know, they'll seal up for 75 years, then they'll tell us.
Now, you say that when we, or, if, well, whenever we talk about Mars, or when someone finally admits that we are either there or going there or have been there or so on and so forth, Mornay has said that we will find that they've had dinosaurs and the same animals and the same fossils that we have here on Earth.
That's correct. Apparently, when E.T. came into the solar system, you know, they came in from the outside. So they would have inhabited planets on the outside first, or at least stopped there and, you know, studied them. Well, that's exactly the case with Mars. My understanding is that Mars was in a completely different orbit. And it was actually closer to us. And Earth itself was not even in the same orbit that it was in.
Hmm.
And, you know, these guys are thousands and thousands of years ahead of us, and they can literally move planets, primarily, especially if they're hollow inside, I'm told. It's much, much easier. And what apparently happened was a huge asteroid came through our solar system and literally pulled Mars 19 million miles out of its original orbit into the orbit it's in now. And, you know, if you look at the surface, you can see where water has just literally buried everything, or, you know, moving sand and moving dirt. And apparently that's exactly what happened. But there still is water there. There is oxygen there. There is ozone there. The government admitted that in March of 1995. That there was ozone covering at least 90% of the surface, you know, which, of course, they've never mentioned anything about since 1978.
Sure. Well, look, they're even talking about Europa now as having,
showing signs of
right,
life.
Having life. I mean, my goodness.
Right. They've known this all along.
All right. So with this kind of a background, we need to really talk about the important issues then. This is kind of a little introduction, a tip of the iceberg. to get people up to speed, to let them know that they've been lied about for, well, let's not say thousands of years. Let's say they've been lied about for the last 100 years at least.
Yeah, that's easy.
And with that in mind, we need to talk then about such interesting things like crop circles, the Hale-Bopp comet, or is it a comet? Let's start with the crop circles.
Okay.
What do the Andromedans say about the crop circles?
They've said all along that they're fifth-dimensional geometry, and it's a language. They're sending signals, and what's interesting is the reason they're sending them to England primarily. I mean, they're happening all over the world, but some of the most fantastic, in the island of England. And that's because that's where all the world's wealth is controlled out of. And they're sending a clear message to those people, to the beings there underground and the secret societies on the surface, look, you have to radically start changing your behavior, or a specific outcome is going to happen. And crop circles are even appearing in the United States now, as far as some appeared a couple weeks ago in Nebraska. And apparently many different races are leaving these. It's not...
Now, when you use the word races, you mean extraterrestrial races?
Yes. Earth has, Earth has got quite a lineage of different races that have come and gone.
Mm.
And, it's time, it's really time that, we as a race be given back our heritage. And, it's been robbed from us by many people who have wanted to control. So they've suppressed this information. They've kept it hidden. They have murdered to make sure that this information never got out. They would literally stop at anything because it would literally free us. It would get our focus off our day-to-day lives, and we would be trying to stretch ourselves and achieve more. And when you have somebody who's in control, they want you to work for them. They want to control your money, control everything about you. And if you don't play that game, they can't control you.
Now, the Andromedan Council is made up of 139 different races from all over, the galaxy or the galaxies?
All over our galaxy.
Just the galaxy, not the universe, just the galaxy.
Yeah. In the universe, Bruce, they say that they've been able to chart 100 trillion galaxies.
Hmm.
I mean, just imagine that. 100 trillion. That's with a T, folks.
Right.
And they've all got life in them. And here we are being so arrogant, thinking there's just no such thing. And I mean, the joke is really on us because it's everywhere.
Right.
It's everywhere. And they're coming. They're coming this way.
Real quick, what is the Hale-Bopp comet?
Well, they say that it's a craft.
So it's not a comet?
No, sir. A comet does not change direction 4 times and do 70-degree turns. Doesn't happen. And this one has. And everybody knows it. Everybody in the government knows it. The astronomers know it that have been watching it. It's changed direction.
In 10 seconds, why don't we know? Why doesn't our government tell us it's changing positions?
Because they're afraid.
Right.
They're afraid.
All right. What are the pyramids?
Oh, everybody's got their own opinion about that. I will tell you this. What I've been told by Visayas and Morinet, that they originally were weights. They were built to be weights. Like a tire rotates?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like the tire.
Balance.
Right.
Exactly. Basically, that's what the pyramids were put, which is why they're located directly dead center of the entire landmass of the planet. It was to balance the rotation.
Now, they're not just located on the planet Earth, are they?
I don't know. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
I mean, for example, Hoagland's been talking about pyramids on Mars and pyramids on the Moon.
Sure. There's some on Venus. There's some on Mercury. And there's even some rumored to be on some of the moons of Jupiter and Saturn.
Hmm.
So I believe one of the only few planets that doesn't have one would be Uranus. And which, by the way...
Right, it's spinning upside down.
Because it has quite a bit of water.
Maybe it needs some pyramids. Okay.
But, I just wanted to share this one little thing with you.
Sure.
The way they're aligned towards Sirius and Orion. Now, what I've been told is that what we have been taught about history, that the King's Chamber, which is the larger, is actually the Queen's Chamber, because it's dedicated and aligned to Orion, and Orion has been ruled by queens. And I believe, and I'm going to put a plug in here for him, Robert Morningsky talks a great deal about some of this information, and he's really right on with it, you know, and he's definitely got pieces of the puzzle. There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, and there's always been this question about the matriarchal society versus the patriarchal society. I mean, we live in the patriarchal society right now, so God is the father and so on and so forth.
But it wasn't always that.
Right, it wasn't always like that, and people are starting to learn that.
Yeah, that's correct, they are. We're learning more and more about our past, and it's very different than what the history books have told us.
Let's talk a little bit about, I wanted to say this, have we cleared up basically Hale Bopp?
I think so, except for the fact that there are two large moons in the tail of it. And the government has pulled all of its information regarding Hale-Bopp, including the pictures, off the Internet, which is interesting. But fortunately, enough people were able to download, and that information is still available on private web pages. They're definitely trying to keep this thing low profile.
What is the possibility?
The way things are looking, life is going to be different after it goes by us.
Right, and hopefully it's going to go by us, right?
Yes, it's going to go by. It's going to go by, but, you know, there's quite a bit of debris in the tail of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could be a concern.
Let's talk about a few things that have happened starting with March 23rd, 1994. 19 suns pole shifted at once in our galaxy.
That's correct, and apparently hundreds have done it since then. And simultaneously, when this occurred...
Now, let's just explain to people what a pole shift is.
Okay, that's where you will have something... Take, for instance, Earth, north being the North Pole, south being the South Pole.
Right.
And the planet literally just rotates where the North Pole now becomes the South Pole. And it happens within a 24-hour period, as far as we can measure.
And we know, incidentally, that has happened before... Because we have records of that in the ocean, which show that the magnetic poles have changed, and it was recorded in lava, which becomes rock.
That's right.
So we know that it's happened here, and of course, I guess it has quite a catastrophe for those of us living on the surface, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've recorded at least 16 different times that it's happened to our planet.
Right.
And sometimes it's caused by meteor striking it at the right position.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it'll be where an ice shelf will slip and it will cause the planet to roll. There's various numbers of ways that this could happen. But apparently suns just don't normally do this. And they just did it. And simultaneously, Bruce, when this occurred, according to the Andromedans, a sound and color frequency started emanating from all the black holes in the known universe, and it is literally shifting the frequency of the entire universe. We're talking the 100 trillion galaxies now. Everything is starting to change, and it's never ever happened before.
Now, we've all heard about the changes expected somewhere around 2013 to 2014, certainly going through the photon belt, which I don't feel like talking about at this point.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I did a talk at Global Sciences, and, you know, I'm asked this question every single time that I do give a talk. And
right.
I don't give that many. But and the Andromedans have never, ever once mentioned the photon belt.
I know you and I talked about this last year.
Yes.
I started talking about the photon belt, and you said they don't talk about it.
No. So
we won't talk about the photon belt tonight, but what's going to happen on December?
There's nothing to talk about.
Right.
I don't know.
But you talk about 12th creational density and the fact that this is all raising the creational densities up.
Well, prior to March 23rd of 1994, we apparently had 11 creational densities. When this color sound frequency started emanating from the black holes, It was literally creating a holographic imprint over all the 11 creational densities, creating a 12th. And yes, what they've said is, on their preliminary reports, the Andromedans, is that it appears that third density is imploding on itself. And everything in third density is starting to be raised in vibration up into fourth and then fifth density.
So in English language, what this means is that we are not really third dimensional beings any longer, are we?
No, we're not.
We just don't know it. We don't know it, right?
No. You know,
but third dimensional beings can't see us. In other words, if a third dimension, this is my understanding, you can correct me if I'm wrong. A third dimensional being, if it were to come near the planet, wouldn't see our planet any longer, or even our universe, I guess.
If he was right at 3.0 as far as the frequency, no, he would not.
So we're not three-dimensional any longer.
No, we're moving into fourth and then into fifth.
And this is why people say that heaven is coming and merging with earth, isn't it?
Well, there's going to be some hell in the way, though. you know, there's going to be change.
Now, you and I did a very, very interesting show almost a year ago, and we talked about some pretty weird stuff.
Yeah, we did.
And just to maybe, I don't know how I can even encapsulate what we talked about, but we talked about the fact that the reptilians, I guess specifically the three groups, including the Alpha Draconians, really had a stake in taking over our planet and getting rid of us, because they just think of us as just in the way.
Okay, well, we're not the only ones.
Right.
The human race, since its existence or first colonies or creation in Lyra...
We're talking about the whole human race now.
Yeah,
not just
in our galaxy.
Right.
You know, I don't know about a lot of the other
but
galaxies.
Not just us, just not us on the planet Earth. When human race, everybody thinks that, and I want to make sure we have that clear.
Yeah, all the human races inside our galaxy have had problems with the reptilian races. Now, not all the reptilians are bad, but many of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean bad is that they're regressive. They're into control and domination. Now, they look at us as a natural resource. And that's their attitude, that we are a natural resource, just like we look at cows
mm-hmm.
as a natural resource, or pigs, or sheep.
See, now, most people keep themselves feeling comfortable, and this is what I pointed out in the last show, by expressing the wish, I'm underlining the word wish, that we were the top of the food chain.
We're not.
Right. That's why I said that.
We're not, and it's not really a laughing matter.
No, it's not.
But we're not, and, you know, they've been here, and, you know, the ancient mythology and the typical biblical looking of a reptilian type of being with horns and a long tail representing the devil, you know, ladies and gentlemen, those were actual beings, and some of them are still alive. And many of them come from not only Orion, but other areas, but also Alpha Draconis. Now, the royal line of Alpha Draconis is called the Sekar, and they apparently are the very large, anywhere from 17 to 22 feet, up to 1,800 pounds, reptilian with long tails. They're considered the royal line.
They look like the gargoyle, the classic gargoyle, right?
Except they're huge.
Yeah, except that they're...
They're very...
Well, sometimes I think that they made the gargoyle 6 feet tall so we wouldn't be too afraid of it in the pictures I'm talking about.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
But these are 18 feet. These are big.
Yeah. Yeah, they're huge.
These things look like dinosaurs.
They really do. They, you know... Tyrannosaurus Rex
mm-hmm.
or,
yeah.
you know, Velociraptor, except, you know, larger.
See, everybody thinks that Tyrannosaurus Rex was just stupid. That makes us feel like we're safe.
Well, you know, recent evidence proves
right.
that they weren't as stupid as they thought before.
Yeah. Well, the Draconians, the Alpha Draconians, are pretty smart, and I think we should tell people how smart they are.
They're very, very smart. They apparently have had space travel for 4 billion years.
And let's talk about the last thing about them, and that is that they are almost impossible to beat. As a matter of fact, I think the Pleiadians gave up, right?
Yeah. They got into it, and they just literally backed off because they...
400,000 years, right?
They weren't getting anywhere.
Right. 400,000 years of a war and the Pleiadians gave up.
The Orion War lasted 600,000 years, but it wasn't just the Pleiades. There were a lot of other groups that were involved. And my understanding is, from what Morinet has told me, that that war ended just, both sides just walked away. That they, there had been so much death that they simply got tired of killing each other.
Right.
But they haven't ironed out any differences. They just walked away, and this undeclared truce has existed, but it's also been tested. And it's being tested as we speak, I'm told, as this frequency change is coming, because they're realizing that their DNA is not going to help them with this polarity shift, this raising of frequencies. Our DNA, Bruce, is so different, not only because of the 22 different genetics that we have in it, racial memories, but it's also our extreme of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And our DNA is capable of vibrating at a very high frequency.
Bottom line, we're going to make it through this change, and they can't.
Yes, and they're really pissed off about it.
Yeah.
And this is why so many abductions are going on. Hybridization is going on.
Yeah, they're trying to come up with a solution fast.
Right,
aren't
and they're using our DNA.
Right.
You know, and again, they're looking at us as a natural resource.
Okay, Alex, we're going to run out of time. I knew we were. That's why I pushed as fast as I could to get through this thing. I've got in front of me the world underground bases.
Yeah.
In 30 seconds, can you tell me what those are?
The underground facilities?
Yeah. These are little boxes. I mean, are these are actual tunnel entrances?
I believe the round circles with the X's are the tunnel entrances. The others are bases. And yes, some of them are very, very old. Many of the ETs that came here, you know, and they needed to live in enclosed environments because they're not all oxygen breathing like we are.
Yeah.
There's many different races. So they would go underground because they could create Edens in there, which are totally enclosed environmental areas. You know, some of the races need high carbon dioxide. They couldn't live on the surface.
So basically they live inside our planet.
Well, they
a
did.
Lot of them, a lot.
Yeah, they sure did. And also because of wherever star systems they come from, their suns might have a different radiation frequency.
Right.
Where here, our sun is very, very strong.
All right, we've got to stop.
Okay. Okay.
Alex, we're going to keep doing this until we finally cover as much as we possibly can cover. Where are you going to be next, Alex?
Well, I'm staying close to home. We're nesting.
Okay. All right.
My wife's having a baby.
That's right.
You know, we're just going to hang out.
Okay, so here's what we'll do.
Okay.
You and I will contact each other. We'll do another show, and we'll try to have more time for people.
Okay,
I couldn't take any of the calls. I would have liked to have, but that's the way it was tonight. Thanks for being with us, Alex.
Hey, it was my pleasure, Bruce, and I just want to say, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when things start to get really weird, please don't turn on each other. We need each other. We are all that we have.
Great.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Alex.
Take care, Bruce.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, everybody.